We know a lot about fisheries, the Great Barrier Reef, and the migrations of whales, but there's a lot more fish in the sea than we realise. Only 5% of our oceans are charted, and there is a lot of life that we virtually know nothing about. The vast majority of life in the oceans are microbial, from bacteria upwards, but there is a lot to explore. I asked Professor Justin Seymour from the University of Technology Sydney just what was going on in the tiny world of ocean microbes.
There's this tiny invisible world in the ocean, which is playing really important roles in ocean function, and you mentioned the whales. But if we summed up all of the bacteria and viruses and other microbes in the ocean, even though each one of them is tiny, their cumulative biomass makes up 95% of all the living biomass in the ocean. So while we see all these whales and sharks and big organisms, their total biomass in the ocean is nothing compared to all these microbes. So a typical teaspoon of seawater would contain about a million bacteria within it. And often when people think about bacteria, they think about them in a negative light, that they can make you sick, but most of the bacteria in the ocean are completely harmless to us and in fact play really critical roles in the function of the ocean. They form all of the cycling of nutrients that supports the productivity of the food web, and many of them are key photosynthesizers. So they're the base of the ocean's food web, and without these microbes, we wouldn't see the other organisms in the ocean, like fishes and things like that.
So it's kind of the first step on the food chain ladder.
Yep.
We've heard about krill being food for whales down towards Antarctica. Where do they fit? Are they much, much bigger compared to these microbes?
Yeah, krill are gigantic compared to the microbes. So there's a couple of levels of the food web below the krill, between the bacteria and the krill. But it's the bacteria that basically are the very base. They take up the chemicals out of the water that other organisms can't assimilate, and they turn that into living biomass. And then they're eaten by some slightly larger microbes, and then you sort of have the food web develop from there. The bacteria at the very base, and the way that they cycle things like carbon, not only have a big effect on what flows into the food web and how productive the food web is, it also has a big effect on the chemical cycles that can influence climate at global scales.
Yeah, because carbon is there's more carbon stored in the sea than there is on the land. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Quite a bit more. And so there's huge fluxes of carbon that come in and out of the ocean into the atmosphere, and a lot of this is driven by biological processes. So some marine microbes are photosynthetic, so that often some of these either algae or cyanobacteria called the forests of the sea, they photosynthesize in the top part of the ocean, and in doing so turn carbon dioxide into living biomass, and then that's transferred through the bacteria and other microbes into the food web.
It sounds like a good opportunity for carbon capture.
Well, people have talked about that and have done pretty massive experiments on it, where they've fertilized certain parts of the ocean with the nutrients that they know limit these phytoplankton to try to stimulate blooms of them. And this has been shown that it can draw carbon dioxide down from the atmosphere. Problem is, there's a lot of other feedback loops amongst the microbes, which can ultimately lead to that carbon being returned quite quickly to the atmosphere when it's eaten by bacteria and they respire, for instance.
But you've mainly been looking at, about the movement of marine microbes. What happens when they move around?
Yeah, so we look at the motility or the swimming behaviour of marine bacteria. And this is something that people look at when they're looking at bacteria that might be pathogens of animals and humans, looking at how they might migrate from one part of the body to another. But traditionally, marine scientists and oceanographers have thought out in the ocean, where everything's being ostensibly mixed up by turbulence, that swimming around isn't going to make much difference. But it turns out that a lot of the bacteria that are floating around in seawater are able to swim around in their local environment quite effectively, and that they have this capacity to sense their food or the chemicals that they consume. And this is called chemotaxis, where they can swim towards chemicals that they find beneficial. And so that's one of the things that we look at, and it's how bacteria in the ocean might be able to localize around rich sources of nutrients. Something we're very interested in is how bacteria and algae associate with each other in the water column. And there's emerging evidence that many of these relationships might be akin to a symbiosis, where the bacteria and the algae both mutually benefit from the relationship. But for that to occur, the organisms need to be close to each other. And for the best way for that to happen is that the bacteria swim right up close to the algal cell. And that's sort of one of the main focuses of some of our research, how these bacteria are able to swim close to the algal cell, what kind of chemicals they use as cues to find their algal cell that they then receive food from.
Professor Justin Seymour from the University of Technology Sydney, who led research with ETH Zurich and the University of Queensland on microbial life around our coasts, supported by the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and speaking with me there.